So, there was a man sent from God. He wasn't the light, because the true light was coming, but he came to give witness to the light. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we praise you for your light that gives light to everyone. Please help us this morning to understand more of that light, and especially how we can share it as your witnesses, and in your name we pray. Amen. So we've already had hands up for various points of Christmas preparation. We've talked about the food that was going out. I just want to acknowledge with the Geeskies here with us, it's all about John's this morning, isn't it? And with you with us this morning, just we work in the same organisational alliance. And with my team, they're quite an international team. And part of my Christmas preparation with the team this week was to say, right, what are your three favourite foods that have to be on the Christmas menu, the Christmas meal table? And I have to ask John afterwards a little bit. I've understood pumpkin pie, but grits? What on earth is that all about? As people put down their favourite foods, you know, I have Indian, Africans, and a few Americans. And anyway, so we're all going to be doing different things for Christmas in different ways. But something we're all going to share is we're going to have colleagues and neighbours and friends and family who are not believers of Jesus. They're not followers in him. And we're going to have the opportunity at Christmas time, more than any other time, to talk about Jesus, the light who came into the world. Born, as we heard, just 6 months before Jesus, Zechariah and Elizabeth's son, John. And I imagine as John, the gospel writer, was writing this passage, that he'd have had Jesus' words ringing in his ears just as Jesus ascended up into heaven, as the book of Acts tells us, the start of the book of Acts, where Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." You will receive power, Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Witnesses. That was the plan. Jesus' plan. You're going to be my witnesses. God appointed witnesses, just as John was sent to be the witness. And who has God chosen? Well, for many people in church online this morning, well, it's us. He's chosen us. So, it's a great time. It's a great time to witness, and as we've already said, because pretty much every nation around Earth is going to pause and have a holiday for what? Well, because it's Christmas, even if they can't call it that. And there will be people, as in the business that the Geeskies that I'm involved with, we know there are people in pretty much every nation who are going to stop. And they're going to rejoice that Jesus the Saviour came into the world. And it'll be just as the prophet said, "For the earth will be filled of the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea." And there it is. That's happened. The knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2, chapter 2, verse 14. It's happening. I have to pause for a little personal moment here. It's always lived with me. I forget who the preacher was, but he said, can you imagine when you get to heaven and you're there at the great feast that Jesus promised, and you're sat there next to this guy and you're not sure who it is, and they say, "Oh, hello, I'm Habakkuk. I hope you found my book helpful." And for me this year, it actually wasn't Habakkuk, but it was Joel. For me during this year, the verse that probably spoke to me most, you might remember a couple of months back when we were going through the book of Joel and the final terrible day of the Lord. And as I looked at that the verse that God drew to my attention was, and the mountains will drip with new wine, because that's the day of the Lord that Jesus wants to invite us to be part of. So it was a special thing. And I pray for God's help to share something of that. My family in particular, those who aren't currently followers of Jesus, have heard me talk a lot about the doom and gloom of the day of the Lord. And I feel obliged to share with them, well, that's something that maybe is a perspective you need to have. So, God has appointed us as his witnesses. He's called you and me to do that. And the gospel writer, John, points us to John the Baptist and say, there you go, that was the man who was sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to the light so that through him all might believe. He was not the light, he came only as a witness to the light. So a few things then about John. What was his story? What was his message? What was his impact? And what encouragement can we take from John? John's story, as it begins, call the midwife. I have a great arrangement with my wife about call the midwife. It's on when I'm not at home. And I know it can be something you love or you don't. But as you read Luke chapter 1, it's got all the ingredients. There are old parents who thought their time was gone and the wife has become pregnant. There's a young couple and she's become pregnant and they're not married. And the old mum-to-be and the young mum-to-be get together to help each other. Angels are turning up to give directions. What a story. And so John came into the world as the archangel Gabriel explained to his dad, you're going to call him John, and he's going to grow up, and the Spirit of God will evidently be upon him. So quite a start to his life. He then went out and he lived in the desert, living wild, eating locusts. That caught my attention. Yeah, locusts, those same locusts in the book of Joel. John was eating them. And so he went out and with a simple message. As Matt reminded us, you need to repent of your sins because the kingdom of God is drawing near. You need to repent of your sins because the kingdom of God is drawing near. The religious authorities didn't have any problem with the message. They're quite like it. The synagogues seemed to fill up as people actually repented. And he came with the same message as we'd heard, Isaiah. As we had that message, Isaiah, 700 or so years earlier, had prophesied the arrival of the Messiah who had come and before him, the witness. And so Mark put that at the beginning of his gospel. And so we have Isaiah telling what was going to happen, the witness who'd be coming. Later on, John the Baptist was asked, well, are you Elijah? As you might remember, Elijah, he went up to heaven in chariots of fire. He didn't die. Are you Elijah who's come back? He said, well, no, I'm not. But as we have explained to us, Elijah's spirit and power was on John. So not Elijah, but Elijah's spirit and power. And it involved baptizing people in the River Jordan, the ministry, with all who wanted to repent and know God, back to the River Jordan, just like Elijah's apprentice, Elisha, had told the Syrian general Naaman to go and do, wash and be cleaned. And Jesus would then pick that up and say, well, this is the sign. If you have come to know Jesus, be baptized and repent, and that new life will come upon you. So you become born again and a witness to it, and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. That was John's that was John's story. And the message, well, really very straightforward. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. How does that compare to the message when we're telling people about Jesus? Repent, the kingdom of God has drawn near. It's a challenge, isn't it? And John also said in his message that the one who comes after me is so much more powerful that I'm not even worthy to tie his sandals. He said, I baptize with water, but the one who comes after me will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So there we are, the message, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's just the same for us today. We need to repent that we're going the wrong way, believe in the name of Jesus, experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit, give a sign to it through some form of baptism, be made spiritually alive. And so we live out that message of Jesus. That was the call. That was John's message. It's what people did back in the day. And it's the same today as John and Sarah and others are going around spreading the Bible around. The mission isn't to give people a Bible and say, there you go. The mission is that people receive the message of Jesus and they take it to heart and their lives are changed and their communities are transformed. If you want to ask about community transformation, ask the Giskis how they're seeing that in Senegal or how other people are seeing it in many other places. So that was the message. It was the message for then. It's the message for now. What was John's impact? Well, there's a couple of things. First, many people were changed. They did confess their sins and they changed their ways. And when Jesus ministered to the crowds who flocked to see him, they came to see about the kingdom of God that had arrived. So the impact was there, as I said. Likely the synagogues filled up and the religious leaders didn't object to it. They were a bit curious about it, but they didn't object. It was God's message, the kingdom is coming. But when Jesus did come, the authorities weren't so popular on him. And there's a second big impact of John. That when Jesus went to Jerusalem in those final days of his life, that those who opposed him said, well, by what authority do you do these things? By what authority do you say these things and claim them for yourself? And do you remember the question that Jesus asked them? He said, well, look, I'll tell you that if you tell me this. John's message, was it from heaven or was it from an earthly origin? And the disciple and the Pharisees and the lawmakers, what did they say? Little conference between themselves. Well, if we say it was from heaven, then we know he was pointing to Jesus. And the people held him to be a prophet. But if we say it was earthly, then we'll be in trouble with all the people who believe John. So they said, oh, well, we don't know. And there's something interesting in that. The witness of John, the witness that John gave, was something that couldn't be denied. The witness of the faithful servant was something that couldn't be denied. As the final hours of Jesus unfold and he's there, he's arrested, the high priest has to step outside the law to convict Jesus because he knows he hasn't got him lawfully or legally. The evidence of John couldn't be denied. And the evidence of the witness of our lives, if we're following Jesus, if our lives are being changed, if people around us are seeing that we are the followers of Jesus, it's something that cannot be denied. Where did this come from? Well, it's real. It's real for me. And that the light of our witness, just like on the glitter ball, as the light that shines in it, as we reflect the light of it, you can't deny the light that's there. So what can we take from that for ourselves? What about being a witness? So, okay, let's try another show of hands. Has anyone ever go to court and be a witness? Anyone ever had to go and be a witness in court? Okay, a few. How was it for you? If you say it was a lovely, happy experience, I don't know what court case you went to. I've been cross-examined once or twice. Colleagues at work just in the last couple of weeks had to go. And again, they said that was such a brutal experience as a barrister. A very smart legal guru comes at you with questions. Oh, what about this? What about that? Maybe the thought of being a witness isn't really a very pleasant one for you. Let me try something else. How many people have ever been asked to be a reference or a referee for somebody who's asked about being a job? Yeah, a few more. A few. Now, how about that? You know the sorts of questions you get? Well, this guy, Matt, how long have you known him? What sort of a relationship do you have with him? Who is he to you? Can you recommend him for the job? I'll leave you to tell Matt about the answers you might have for them. But what about... what about us to be references, referees? If you can't get the idea of a witness in a courtroom, how about being a reference? If we're to be a reference point for Jesus, how do I answer those? How long have you known him? Well, I've known him since I was about 16 years old, which is too many years to count now because I can't remember back that far. But I've known him a long time, actually. What sort of relationship do you have with him then? Who is he to you? He's my God, my Savior, but he's the one who I've chosen to dedicate my life to following. The decisions I take and the way that I live. When Jesus says, love your neighbor like yourself, I try to take that seriously because I believe that's the way we're called to live. And can you recommend him? Absolutely. For decades, I've followed this Jesus and I have never, ever been disappointed. I've sometimes been confused and not understood things straight away, but I can absolutely recommend him. He's the way and he's the truth and he really is the light. That's who he's been. So maybe before those get-togethers, before the work party, before the Christmas day with perhaps the unbelieving relatives, the drinks party with the neighbours, a few things for us. Let's ask Jesus for the opportunity to be his witness, even with people we've known for many years. If we're going to be with them again and they don't know Jesus, let's pray this year for opportunity to let the light of Jesus shine through us, that we'll be asked something that we can say. And let's pray also for the courage. And we say, oh, well, what are you going to be doing? Well, we'll be at church, really. And not just to talk about the service times or which carol we're going to be singing. Oh, sorry, Jane. I know that the carols will be lovely. But let's think, what could we say? Because if we've repented and believed and been born again and the Spirit of God has come into us, we can have the courage to ask Jesus for the words and why this Christmas we're thinking of him. And then perhaps one more thing as we pray about our chance to be reflecting the light of God this Christmas. Maybe there's something we can remember in this year that God has had to say to us. I don't know, many of us were at the church weekend and we were there somewhere amidst the rain and the storms and the everything else. And do you remember what the guy said? He said, you know, we believe that the word of God, it's not just God breathed 800 years ago to Isaiah, or 2,800 years ago to Isaiah. It's not just God, but it's God breathing. Maybe have a think back. Is there something special that God's brought to your attention in this year? And maybe that's something that would be an opportunity to share, just as I feel compelled to say that the day of the Lord, well, it's not just about judgment, it's the party that Jesus wants us to be at afterwards. And finally, if there's anyone here who's not yet been born again, who's not encountered Jesus, who's not repented and said, I'm going to turn my life and go Jesus' way, well, know this morning that that's why Jesus came. And John, like us, are called to be witnesses, to testify to the light. We're not the light, but he is. And he's the one who we come to know, and we want to testify to him so that all might believe.